We're back at the podium game with our previews. We're going to do the second round. I'm Brian Gibberman, and we are going to start with the Bulls Cavaliers series. Sean Hyken from Bleacher Report covers the Bulls, is here to help us out with the Chicago perspective. Sean, how you doing today?
I'm good, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so my first question is, I watched the Bulls Bucks series, and I'm basically completely confused, and I have no idea what to take from it. What did you think of Chicago's performance in that series?
I thought overall they were good. There were some fluky things with the two games that they lost. You know, they had 28 turnovers in Game 4, and they still only lost on a buzzer beater. But, you know, I mean, there's really not a lot to take from it in terms of stuff going forward because they're so much more talented than the Bucks. But, I mean, the big thing to take from it is that Derrick Rose, for the most part, looks like Derrick Rose again, and that's, you know, that's a huge thing for the Bulls. That was the thing that was a big question mark down the stretch, like the whole season, was, you know, whether he was going to be able to turn it on in the playoffs because he'd been kind of inconsistent during the regular season. But for the most part, I think Bulls fans have to be very pleased with what they've seen from him.
What did he do more that gives you confidence in him that he could play a consistent series against the Cavaliers versus what you saw in the regular season?
Well, he's not just like settling for three-pointers all the time. He's still taking some threes, but the threes that he's taking now seem like they're more catch-and-shoot looks as opposed to off-the-dribble attempts like he was been doing a lot during the regular season. It also doesn't seem like that's his first choice, is just to go get the ball and immediately go shoot a three. He's driving to the hoop a lot more. He's, you know, going, taking the mid-range floaters that he can hit so well when he wants to. It seems like he's just kind of playing his game more.
Game one is Monday, and I believe it's played every other day unless it goes to a game seven where there's an extra day between game six and game seven. How big of a worry is that, do you think, for the Bulls?
Well, it's definitely a concern because Derrick Rose has been a lot better in games where they've had 2 days or more of rest than when they've had 1 day or back to back. So it, you know, it is a little bit worrying. But I think he'll be fine. The other thing is that Kyrie Irving is not nearly the defender that Michael Carter Williams is. So having a lot less of a tough defender on him, you know, I think is gonna help him a lot.
All right, so no Kevin Love. Chicago obviously has a bunch of good bigs that are typically good from their career perspective. How do you think they can go about taking advantage of Love not being there?
Well, I mean, I think the thing with Love is, I mean, obviously not having him really hurts their spacing because then they don't have a big man who can shoot threes that can really take can take one of the Bulls' bigs out of the paint. I think the biggest thing with Love's absence in this series is just what that does to the rest of the Cavaliers' depth. Because, you know, either they're going to play LeBron a lot at the power forward and that's going to wear him out, and he already played a lot of minutes as it is, or, you know, they're going to have to, you know, start Tristan Thompson, and that means that the minutes that Tristan Thompson would have played off the bench are going to have to go to somebody who's a lot less good than Tristan Thompson coming off the bench. So you've got, you know, you look at their options for who they can play in those big man minutes when the starters are out, and you've got, you know, Kendrick Perkins probably doesn't have a lot left. Brendan Haywood doesn't have a lot left. Sean Marion, I don't think we've seen, has a lot left. So it really hurts their depth more than anything.
With the Bulls, there was Gasol and Noah had struggled playing together through much of the season, and early on in that Bucks Bulls series, in that game six, obviously the Bulls jumped on them quick and they had some success with them on the court. Was that a fluky thing, or do you think they're going to start having more success playing together going forward?
I still don't think it's an ideal pairing. I really think, especially with, if they play LeBron at the four a lot, you know, you want to have somebody like Mirotić out there, I think, to make LeBron chase him around on the perimeter more than just going with the traditional two big lineup. You can't really play big against the Cavs if the Cavs are going small with LeBron at the four, especially when, you know, Noah isn't moving as well as he has been, and Gasol has never been a great defender anyway. So I don't think it's an ideal pairing, but I've given no indication that that's not what Tom Thibodeau is going to roll with.
How do you think they work out their cross matches if they play LeBron at the four? Is, I mean, yeah, they it seems pretty obvious. The Bulls have to use Butler to defend him. So how do they work out who defends who from if you're using Matt as your starting point?
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. LeBron and Butler are going to be on each other. LeBron might switch over to Rose at some point, or they might switch him on Shumpert onto Derrick Rose. The Cavs might. For the most part, I think we're going to be seeing, you know, Kyrie Irving and Derrick Rose matching up against each other. And, you know, neither of them are great defenders by any stretch. So I think both teams might decide, okay, we'll let the other point guard go off for 40 and hope that everybody else doesn't beat us. And, you know, that's a lot easier of a proposition to make when you have LeBron James. But the Bulls also have one of the, you know, maybe five guys in the league that can actually guard him at a decent rate.
So who the heck is, say they start LeBron at the four, who are Gasol and Noah gonna defend? You hide like Marion or Miller. One of them's gonna go on the perimeter,
something like that. I guess. This is why the thing is not, you know, the pairing is not really ideal, because you know Mozgov isn't a huge offensive threat, but you know if you have a hobbled Joakim Noah and an aging Pau Gasol, you know he should still be able to do fine against either one of them. This is actually a series where Mike Dunleavy, if he doesn't get suspended for that hit on Michael Carter-Williams yesterday, and we're still waiting to hear about that, but if he doesn't get suspended, you know, he's another guy who's, you know, kind of an underrated defender, has a lot of length. They can put him on somebody. I'm not sure. I think this is a better defensive matchup for the Bulls, because the Cavs play a lot of isolation ball, so I think, and the Bulls are pretty good at defending that. But the Cavs, this is going to be a really interesting matchup defensively. I don't really know what's going to happen. The first game is going to be really instructive for us.
It's going to be a really weird series. Like we were trying to talk through it, I have no idea. Like once JR and Shumpert, if their starting lineup ends up being Kyrie, Shumpert, JR, LeBron and Mozgov, like
once JR gets back from his two-game suspension,
yeah, like you the first game, all right, so you can hide, say you use Gasol to guard Mozgov and you have Noah guarding Miller or Marion, you can get it, or James Jones, you can get away with that, but it would seem to be much harder to do once JR's back in the two wings, or Shumpert and Smith, that'd be a little bit more difficult.
JR just adds so much more shooting, and then, yeah, that's just another thing to have to deal with. They really do need to win at least one of those first two games, because if they lose both of the first two games and then the Cavs get JR Smith back, it's going to be a lot harder of a hill for the Bulls to climb to get back into the series.
Is Kirk Heinrich going to be a part of the regular rotation in this series, you think?
Who knows? I mean, it seemed like Tom Thibodeau had finally gotten over that for the first few games of the series, but he played 20 minutes last night, and I mean, especially if Dunleavy gets suspended, I could see Tibb deciding, you know, Heinrich makes the team function, and he's fine defender. I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think Heinrich should be playing at all. I think Tony Snell is better than him in pretty much every respect at this point, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Tom kept Heinrich in.
And Snell's length and athletic ability would be really useful in this series.
He would be very useful in this series. I don't know what Heinrich really does well. He can't stay in front of Kyrie Irving if they cross-match him onto him. He isn't a threat offensively, so you can hide Kyrie on him defensively. So I don't know what he really adds, but I wouldn't be surprised, just given the way that Tom Thibodeau has approached his minutes over the course of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually was in the rotation.
And then I had one other thing I was going to ask you, but as I got distracted by Kirk Heinrich, I forgot. So
that happens a lot. That happens to the best of us.
I feel like that happened the last time I had you on also, that there was a question I was going to ask, and I just went completely brain dead in the middle of the podcast. That's always tremendous. So I'm going to stall for 5 seconds, and if I don't remember, we're just going to move on and let you go. Yeah, I don't remember, so Sean, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Do you have a prediction? If you want to give a prediction, you're more than welcome. If you don't, you don't have to.
I'm still going to go ahead and say that the Cavs are going to win the series. I think they have the two best players in the series still, even without Kevin Love. They would have been the clear favorites if they still had Love, but not having him makes it more of a coin flip. But I'm still going to go with the Cavs just because I don't want to be the guy that bets against LeBron in one of these series.
Oh,
I feel like that's kind of the safe way to go about it, but I'm still going to go with the Cavs. perhaps.
I kind of agree with you. And during that answer, I actually remember, Dunleavy did not one, but he did two dirty things in that game. He really should get suspended for a game, you would think.
You would think.
That definitely makes the most sense. All right, Sean, go check his stuff out at BleacherReport.com. He does a bunch of great writing on the Bulls. He's been with along with them all season long. Thank you very much for helping us out on the first part of the Podium Gate podcast preview.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
We continue to the Cavaliers' perspective with Jacob Rosen from WaitingForNextYear.com. You can follow him on Twitter at WFNYJacob. What's going on, Jacob? How you doing today?
Not a whole lot. Just relaxing Friday around here. Looking forward to Cavs basketball in a few more days.
Oh, we need to talk about something important before we talk about the Cavaliers. Why does Cardell Jones have to go to Ohio State? Because he's maybe my favorite person ever.
He is insane. Literally, I tweeted everyone I know saying, "Oh my God, Cardell, oh my God, Cardell." And yeah, it's May Fools, apparently.
So May Fools is now a thing for people who have no idea what we're talking about, because we're on a basketball podcast and they don't follow college football. Cardell Jones is Ohio State's quarterback. That's first. Or one of their four.
One of their four quarterbacks, or three. We have three incredible ones and a five-star recruit coming in, too.
Yeah, and another one that's a deep... Shut up, I'm a Michigan fan. I don't want to hear about all your quarterbacks. You're hogging. But he tweeted out that he's transferring to Akron. And it was a completely logical thing, because if he got told he didn't get the starting job, he would go to he wants to be in the NFL, say, after this season... He would go to a lower division school so he could
Akron's Division One.
Oh, are they Division One?
Yes.
I'm sorry for insulting
a school
from your home.
People in Ohio cheer for Ohio State and then wherever they're from or wherever they went to school. So I'm from Akron. I've been to many Akron football games at the Rubber Bowl, Akron basketball.
Oh, the Zips, right?
So I'm a big Akron and Ohio State, and then I went to Dayton fan.
Okay, Akron's the Zips, right?
Yeah, they're the Zips. They're in the MAC. Division One for sure.
I even knew once I clicked that they're the Zips. I even knew that they were a Division One school. That was stupid.
I believe when Jason Taylor played there, they might have just been in the transition process, going from Division Two to Division One. They've been Division One for like 25 years now, 25 years.
See, I wish I would have realized that quicker, because then I wouldn't have thought it to be as realistic, and I would have known he was joking.
I still thought it was very serious. Like, there was all the transfer talk about him going to Oregon or Alabama a few months back, so it was just a lazy Friday. Who knows?
So you had a nice freak out earlier this afternoon, didn't you? Oh, that was tremendous. I called him my favorite human being on the planet.
I think a bunch of other people are saying he's now officially their favorite Ohio State player ever.
Yeah, I wish he didn't go to Ohio State, because I cannot root for him.
And literally, he's played three games for us ever.
Yeah. They were kind of important, though.
It's incredible.
All right, on to what we're supposed to be talking about here, Cavaliers. So games 1 and 2 without J.R. Smith, how do you think the rotation plays out?
It will be a matter. I'm more concerned, honestly, about the how many minutes they'll play Tristan and Mozgov within whether James Jones will give you at the four. And that's the thing that will be the entire series. Like, at the one and the two, you'll see probably still another 10 minutes from Dellavedova the series. But you'll see just lots of Shumpert and lots of Kyrie. I'm more worried about how they'll construct things to battle against Gasol and Noah with another big man in the rotation. That's kind of the bigger item, you know. Can we play James Jones kind of at the hybrid 3-4 with LeBron banging a little bit? LeBron doesn't like to bang too much down there, so it will be interesting to see more from my perspective of what they'll do to replace Love and his size.
There's inappropriate jokes to make there.
Yes, I realized it right when I said it.
I'll leave that be. But then you also look from the other... I was talking about Sean Hyken, was who we had on for the Bulls perspective.
Good guy.
And he's worried about the Bulls' bigs being able to guard the Cavs. And I think that's more of an issue once JR comes back, but it cuts both ways. The matchups in this series are so awkward and weird.
Exactly. I think people salivate over the star power of the series, but there's also the oddness that is this entire Bulls season. Literally the other day I put together a really fun storify of how mad Bulls Twitter has been all season at the awkwardness and the bad rotations and the injuries this season. They haven't been happy. Noah has been bad, and Gasol can't play defense very well, and Mirotić is arguably their second best player this season, and he's hurt. So, from a Bulls perspective, yeah, it's how will they chase the Cavs' still great shooters and their good offensive system? And from the Cavs' perspective, it's how will they have the size to even match up at all with Gasol down low? And if Rose is healthy and doing what he did in a couple of those games against the Bucks, then the Cavs are in trouble too. You never know. That's why the series is a little more a hype than it is actually substance. It's about the stars. It's about Butler and Rose and Gasol and Noah. But right now, those guys aren't the what they all have been at their respective peaks besides Butler.
I wrote about this once Love got hurt. Something I'd be concerned about from a Cavaliers fan is how Shumpert holds up needing to play 35 minutes.
It might not be 35 minutes. It might be hopefully closer to 25 to 30, especially once JR returns, I guess. But we also have the home crowd factor. For better or for worse, you lost JR. I wanted to get out of that Boston series badly because Kyrie was limping a little bit with his hip.
Let me say, I was talking more from how his body holds up from an injury perspective. He's never been a big minute guy, and he has a large injury history. And that's something that he always seems to be getting nicked up, even in that last Cavs game. In game four, he got hit in the head, he fell weak, he falls weird. Like, he just always seems to be a guy who's getting hurt.
I haven't watched enough of you've watched more Shumpert than I have over the years. But, it'll be these two games at home. We'll see a lot of Delly. And at least they're at home is what the point is trying to make. If it was on the road in Chicago against that crowd, I'd be a little more worried just about the bench playing such a larger role without JR. But once JR comes back and it's back on the road, I think things would be back to normal. And everyone's banked up for the Cavs team. That's why the week and a half off was a luxury to have at this point. I did not want to have JR get suspended and be at game five because we'd just be getting beat up more against that scrappy Boston team.
It's scary how much they have, this is from one of the biggest JR defenders probably on this planet. It's scary how much they have to rely on him now. What kind of made it so perfect was, if he was playing like crap, they could have just sat him. No problem. Now that's not really a thing. Once he's back, he's going to be playing 35 minutes, and even if he's struggling, is Dellavedova really a better option than him, even if he's playing poorly?
They still do have a little bit of Shumpert. I think just the Love injury, reduces the number of offensive options and weapons and spacing that this team does have. So, yeah, Smith will have a little larger offensive role to play. The minutes, you still don't know with respect to whether James Jones or Mike Miller are able to contribute anything at all.
Do you think the offensive rebounding success Tristan Thompson had in the regular season against the Bulls will continue in the playoffs? Do you see any reason for that not to carry over?
It should carry over, especially with Mozgov. Like, people will talk about how the Bulls haven't played the Cavs team with the starting lineup intact, but we've seen the front court. We've seen Thompson have success against them, and we've seen kind of the scrappiness of these younger, more agile Cavs against the older, more static front court of Noah and Gasol. So I would definitely expect that to continue. Obviously, we only saw it for a couple games, so I wouldn't expect it to be as perhaps extreme, but I think the Cavs will be very successful in defensive boards.
If you were to guess on one of those older Cavaliers between Jones, Marion, and Miller to be able to contribute in a positive way this series, you have no choice. You have to pick one. Which one would you pick?
James Jones. He's the guy who at least has been called upon more often regularly, and I think he'll hit a big shot to win a game or something in the series, or contribute a few key, maybe a scrappy offensive rebound here or there. You never know. He's the guy that's at least been more expected to contribute something. Mike Miller's hardly played really the last several months, and Marion had a crazy play and score at the end of a game at the end of regular season, in his final regular season game, I'm not exactly sure this is a great fit for him to match up against Butler and Dunlap if that's what he's doing. But I would expect James Jones to be a guy who's called upon to shoot the basketball and just kind of be there defensively, and just kind of hopefully keep up. But his shooting is, I think, the thing that will be key for the Cavs, especially with Love gone.
How did you think Blatt did in his first playoff series with adjustments and all that stuff?
I think he did quite well. He would switch out Smith if he was cold. I think he understood what was happening from the Celtics' perspective. And if you look at the keys to beating the Celtics, which were control Isaiah Thomas and don't let their hot bench shooting get you, the Cavs did everything they needed to do to prepare. Isaiah Thomas had a terrible series, and that was all on David Blatt, preparing this team to be aware that that was the one key. Is if he comes off the bench and scores 25, you're not going to have a high probability of winning. And he didn't do that. And so I think for all the hoopla that goes into Brad Stevens and his coaching, I think we underrate how well David Blatt did to prepare the Cavs for that series.
Shumpert on Rose, hide Kyrie, or do they give Kyrie a shot at Rose?
I think they will in spurts, but not full-time, per se. Irving's been great defensively this season, and obviously if Rose is at his peak, you don't want Irving to be too consumed with that. But it'll just depend kind of how well Rose is doing. I wouldn't expect it to be the thing we see all the time. I think Blatt is creative enough to come up with different solutions to that. But, it just depends, though.
Confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being highest, 1 being lowest.
For the Cavs to win it all, to win the series?
Yeah, win the series.
I'd probably say a 7. I would have put it at perhaps a 9 with Love fully healthy. I just think this Bulls team is still very flawed, still not really gelling at a great level, and I have confidence that the Cavs with LeBron and Kyrie and only missing Smith through the first 2 games at home will be able to win it out in probably 6 games.
So six games is your prediction. I'm on. That's what Sean said. All 3 of us agree. That's kind of boring.
Yeah, sorry for that. It could go 7 with the Cavs struggling to perhaps win that game 6 in United Center. But I just don't see this as too much of a concern for this Cavs team, even sans Love. I think this team still is stacked, still has the star power, and still has the shooting and rebounding necessary to take down this team.
To mix things up, I'll take the Bulls in 3.
Of course you would.
Yeah, anything you want to plug or get out there?
Not a whole lot. Also write for the folks at Nylon Calculus and the Hardwood Paroxysm Network. I know they've been putting out a lot of good stuff this week, so check out the things over there.
All right, Jacob, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.